Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Crown Jewel Review. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by Phil Chambers of What Culture to discuss everything that just happened at the Crown Jewel 2021 pay-per-view. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we review Raw, SmackDown, NXT 2.0, AEW Dynamite, AEW Rampage, pay-per-views, we have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a bloody quiz, of course, on WrestleCulture. As I said, though, joined by Phil Chambers to review Crown Jewel, and giving all the caveats that we know we should, was this the best Saudi WWE show ever?
You know what? I think it was. Like, top to bottom, it was solid, apart from one glaring thing with the Queen of the Ring, Queen's Crown, whatever. I mean, yeah, I put about as much effort into that sentence as they put into booking the entire tournament. So apart from that, everything else was really, really solid. Good, clean finishes. It was, yeah, it was just a solid, solid show.
Main event aside, because that was that sort of big four worthy. Yeah, yeah. I think it's fair to say that these matches wouldn't have felt out of place on sort of a B-level pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And they were, as we said, wrapping it up on the stream, they were executed better than they would have been on a B-level pay-per-view. There would have been far more shenanigans or screw finishes than we got here.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, like, this is, I don't know, there's got to be someone with the stats out there that can actually figure this out properly, but it's got to be one of the cleanest WWE shows in a long, long time, which is crazy given that it was in Saudi Arabia.
Yes, exactly. We should give all the caveats here of sports washing and all the issues that come with these Saudi shows, but at the end of the day, it is our job to review it, and if you can, and I know some people can't, and I think that's absolutely fair enough, but if you can put all of that to one side, this is one of the better WWE pay-per-views of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. Although and of course, like, with all of the other massive caveats of sports watching, and I hope, like, ooh, look, propaganda, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Like, the normies of the Saudi Arabian people in the crowd looked like they were having a great time.
Exactly, yes. And, you know, I suppose, in theory, the thing is, this should be. You look at this card, I mean, you've got a triple threat match for the SmackDown Women's Championship with bloody Sasha Banks, Bianca Belair, and Becky Lynch. Yeah, it should be a great, but we've been had our fingers burned with this so often, whether it be a Saudi show or not, and the spectacle of, you know, Saudi Arabia often overshadows it. But yeah, I thought, you know, they didn't just go, all right, get on with it, you know, get on with the women's matches or whatever.
Yeah, they actually got time.
They got like 20 minutes.
Dude up until later.
Yeah, they got 20 minutes, but then that's the Crown Jewel, the Queen's Crown tournament all over, basically, isn't it? Anyway, let's start at the beginning of the show, and we'll run through it and get through it all. The Usos beat the Hurt Business on the kickoff in a match that wouldn't have felt out of place on Raw, except for the fact that there was no real defined babyfaces or heels for me.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter, we're not going to talk about it. Anyway, let's talk about the first match, though. It was Hell in a Cell. Edge versus Seth Rollins, the end of their trilogy, the blow-off match to their feud, and it was slightly long, but I thought it delivered.
Yeah, I don't think we were expecting a match of this length on this kind of pay-per-view. Like, normally when you go into these things, like, you look, solid 3 hours, look at, there's like 9 matches to get through, they're going to be quite quick rattling these off, but it turned out to be the 4-hour show. They gave this like about almost half an hour or something, so they gave it a lot of time, but as a solid like blow off to this feud, I think it was a really, really good match.
And credit to them, like you say, in terms of, we saw how much the likes of Bobby Lashley, Goldberg, Big E, etc. were just dripping with sweat. Going 30 minutes in, well, we Googled it, didn't we? Like 31 degree heat, this match.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is a hell of an achievement.
And they weren't exactly going slow for it either. They like were chucking everything at each other throughout all of this. And
it felt like a blood feud, a satisfying end to a blood feud.
And right from the very get-go, they were gunning for each other, especially Edge. And some of the spots in it were absolutely fantastic. Obviously, there was all the usual sort of chair stuff and table stuff, and Seth Rollins put a table on the outside, and it's genuinely one of my favorite table spots ever,
yeah.
I think,
yeah.
Where he was on the top rope and he was about to jump onto Edge. He was inside the ring, but Edge kind of got up and pushed him off the top of the rope to the outside, but Seth bounced off the Hell in a Cell cage and then went down into the table. And I'd never seen something like that before, and it just looked so grim.
It was,
but it was so good, yeah, at the same time. So really creative spots, using the cell to their advantage, using the sort of weapons and things like that as well to inform the blood feud.
For what, 20 minutes in when they executed the, I forget what it's called now, the Seth Rollins flips over Edge and nails him through the table.
Yeah.
Surprisingly well executed for two guys.
Amazingly well executed.
Probably gassed by that point.
But then he rolls on to the finish, and then it kind of got a bit slower towards the end, I'd say.
Seth wrapping a chain around his foot.
Yeah, the last 4 or 5 minutes probably could have been tightened up a little bit.
But I thought, I'm going to give him that in terms of, I thought it just made you have flashbacks to the MSG match in terms of,
yeah,
Seth is kicking Edge repeatedly in the face. We know he's targeting the neck. He's going to go for the curb stomp or whatever it may be, or a concerto or whatever he wants to do. Including, he kicked him in the face with the chain.
They played a slow-mo of it as well. Oh. He did not pull that kick.
And Edge eventually, though, fights back as it looks like he's going to get his head stomped on a chair and neck probably shattered into a million pieces. He fights back. He gets Seth in that submission where not only is he pulling back at him, cross-facing him, he was using a chain, and then he decided to use a wrench or a spanner.
Yeah, Seth was
rooting
through his toolbox, obviously. He had to get a toolbox in there somewhere.
Horrible flashbacks.
And so it looked like he was about to get something to hit Edge, and Edge kind of grabbed it off him and used that instead.
And then he let it go, and we were like, what? Yeah. Why have you let it go? He was literally about to tap, and then he went, no, I'm going to curb stomp him on a chair, which was, a satisfying conclusion, I thought, to their feud.
Yeah, absolutely. Really good. Using each other's moves again as well, which there would seem to be a little theme tonight. Seth Rollins... But he used the unprettier, didn't he? It wasn't Edge's move. And then later on,
they call it Edge's move because they couldn't
strike. Yeah, that's true. And then later on, Drew McIntyre was trying to do the big ending and things. I'd like it when people do that.
It's good fun. Very nice. Hometown victory next, unsurprisingly. Mansoor versus Mustafa Ali.
Yeah.
The most obvious result on the card.
Yep.
But like we said, Mansoor is often put out there with your Dolph Ziggler's, your Cesaro's, to just have a good match and pop the crowd. And he did it again here. I thought this was one of his best performances in Saudi Arabia. It is what it is with this sort of thing. But Mustafa Ali, I feel like I say this every time I talk about him, deserves so much better. He played the perfect heel in all this. And as he went for a big flippy thing at the end, Mansoor dives to the outside, ducks underneath the ropes, and hits what can only be described as sort of a neck brazier version of Johnny Gargano's finisher. And then it was all about the post-match.
Yeah, absolutely. Do we have the name yet? We didn't have it for what went down. We should probably get the name. Because obviously Mansoor was celebrating at the end of it. Big hometown victory. And then Ali started to beat him down. Boo, you dastardly heel, you boo. But as he was beating down Mansoor, we were saying it ourselves, who the hell's going to come out? And we thought it was going to be one of those big giant guys that they unveiled at one of the Saudi shows a while ago. But nope. A guy came out and he had his face covered, walked really slowly down to the ring. He took his sweet ass time.
We were like, they better recognize him when he takes this thing off.
Who the hell is this guy? And then he kind of started unwrapping his head, and you could see he had a cut on his eyebrow. So mm-hmm. I thought it might be some kind of MMA guy, but no, he finally took it off. The crowd popped for it. And we still had no idea who it was, but it turns out...
Commentary. They explained it literally immediately.
They did explain it immediately. It was the Saudi Arabian silver Olympic gold medalist in karate.
Tarek Hamady, Olympic silver medalist in karate, and Mustafa Ali, after he went, ooh, a brilliant bit of a sell from him of who the hell's this guy? And then they really who it is, and he's big whoop, goes to run at him, kicked in the head, KO'd, celebrates with Mansoor. Lovely hometown pop. They should do more of them,
should, isn't it? It's good when they work out like that, isn't it?
Right, let's talk about the highlight of this goddamn show for you and I. It was a match where we were this is going to be a Raw match all over. This is going to be RK-Bro versus Styles and Omos, and they're not going to put the titles back on Styles and Omos, so how are they going to make people interested in it? Yep. I'll tell you how. Riddle is going to come out on a fucking camel.
Throughout the whole show, there was three camels down at the front. And like right at the very beginning of the show, all the pyro was going off and these people were just trying to hold these camels back. Like the poor guys, they must have had
what the hell was going on. With Pharaoh and the horse yeah. and went, let's terrify some more animals.
So they were there and we were desperate for someone to come out on a camel. We were pitching Big E or something, or Xavier Woods even, mm-hmm. to yeah. come out for his King of the Ring thing. Anything, or to ride off into the sunset on his camel when he wins King of the Ring. But no, here it was, RK Bro, come out together. And then Riddle kind of turns around and Randy's like, what the hell are you doing? And then like a minute later or whatever, he comes out and he's riding the bloody camel. And there's a bro chant going on.
I loved it.
The show peaked. The show absolutely peaked.
I mean, we didn't actually mention this in What Went Down. How over was Randy Orton's basic moves?
Yeah. Randy Orton was so over. He was just doing... He was doing the whole thing with the boots and the laces where he just grinds the face on the laces of the boots. And they were getting huge, huge pops from it.
Yes.
Like, he could do absolutely nothing apart from walk around and just go, kick. And the crowd would go absolutely mental for it. Don't know what's going on over there, but they are big Randy Orton fans.
Yes. I don't get it. I remember my sister-in-law said to me once, she bought me that grey rock t-shirt. She said, yeah, it was between that and a Randy Orton one. I was like, why would you get me a Randy Orton one? Oh, he's quite popular. Is he?
Is he though?
He is in Saudi Arabia.
He's massive. Jeez. In Saudi Arabia.
So they were loving all that. And the finish was something I think we predicted on the preview with me and Hamflet, actually, which was, almost got, I think, taken out by the camel. We didn't see why. He was fine with Riddle. Then he just wasn't there anymore. So I assume the camel came and took him out. But what actually happened was AJ Styles goes for the phenomenal forearm, straight into an RKO. The roof comes off the goddamn place. Yep. Tags Riddle, floating bro, 1-2-3, another title retention, which was probably expected.
Yeah, like the whole match was kind of paint by numbers in what you would expect like those four to do in a match. It was like, it definitely could have been a Raw match, but it was also at the same time like a really solid, just a good wrestling match.
Honestly, there's like some spots that will live with me forever. Like, I really like that Rollins spot you mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
And then there's like a different section. You know, like this celebrity wing of the WWE's Hall of Fame, where you're like, that's all a bit random. So in there now is Pat McAfee, just generally.
Of course,
because I love him. Io Shirai jumping off the top of a cage with a bin on her head.
Yeah.
And Riddle coming out wearing a camel. I'm sure there'll be more that's going to be added to that wing. But
Boogs.
Yeah.
Boogs in Nakamura for no apparent reason.
Boogs just be like... Okay. Right, let's move on and talk about the Queen's Crown Tournament final. It was a doodrap versus Zelina Vega, and it didn't go the way I expected.
No, Zelina Vega got the victory at the end. I mean,
the sunset flip powerbomb
that Doudrop threw herself into as well. He got some actual airtime in that. I was very impressed, and she was teasing.
She went for it earlier, and I went,
match.
"No chance she's hitting that ever."
She was teasing it all the way through. It was fine. The match. What can you expect? They gave it like 5 minutes.
You're getting double time than what you normally get.
By far the longest Queen's Crown match, but that isn't saying a lot.
Nope.
And put as much effort into booking this as they did buying a camel for Riddle. Oh, that's probably even more effort, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
It was fine. Doudrop lost.
Something Zelina nice Vega for won. Zelina Vega.
Yeah,
finally.
She went 0-9 when she first came back, and like we were desperate for them to give something to her, especially when the circumstances over how she left. And then as she came back again, it's like, oh, maybe this is like a new start for her because she wasn't exactly getting on a massive winning streak before she left. And then they went straight into a massive losing streak. And then Money in the Bank came and Money in the Bank went. And there was seemingly no hope there for Zelina Vega. So at least she's got something here with the Queen Vega, I guess they're going to go with. Mm. And she was doing the little Queen's Wave thing. So, you know, she's going to go full on board with this Queen thing. So it could be terrible.
Gives
us
something.
Good.
Yeah.
It's at least something. And let's use this as a little bit of a springboard for her to actually move her up the card a bit and get her into some decent spots because it's not been good going.
Maybe the winners of both tournaments should get a title shot. Maybe that's what was the rule initially. Anyway. And why on earth did you ever change it?
That would have made sense.
Yeah. Happy for Zelina Vega. Doudrop, I'd be more disappointed if her name wasn't Doudrop.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's maybe have a go. Maybe the reason why I lost is because I got a crap name. Yeah, and at least it wasn't Eva Marie distracting her or some bollocks anyway. Yeah. Right, no holds barred. Falls count anywhere. Anything goes. Goldberg's going to kill you. Match came next. Goldberg versus Bobby Lashley's, of course, looking for revenge for what Bobby Lashley did to his family. This went better than expected.
Much better than expected, and probably longer than expected. I mean, I think it was still only like 11 minutes or something, but still longer than expected.
Double figures.
Double figures, baby, for Goldberg is not bad. And
he was dripping, wasn't he?
He was absolutely dripping. He didn't headbutt anything on the way out. He did headbutt the ring post when he did that thing where he dived into the corner and, you know, Bobby's going to move out the way. And then he just really can't take that bump. I don't know what it is with Goldberg and taking that shoulder block into the ring post bump, but he can't do it. So he busted his head open just a little bit, not too much.
Yeah, he wants to see a little bit of the old Goldberg.
Yeah. But he actually got Bobby Lashley up into the air for the jackhammer and got him down again safely, which is the important bit of that, I guess. But he got him up and he got him back down again. And yeah, it was a Goldberg match. They beat each other up quite a lot. The finish, I mean, it got turned into a Falls Count Anywhere match on the pre-show for some reason.
Apparently.
Even though it was already a no-holds-barred match.
Probably should have thought about that beforehand, but
probably.
Still.
But they had the finish that they wanted to do, so they battled off down the rampway, and then just as you think Goldberg's got it all sorted out, out comes the Hurt Business.
Oh,
and they have kendo sticks, and then they go and beat up Goldberg, and nope, none of that happened.
Two bumps.
None of that. They took two bumps. They ran straight in. They didn't hit him with the kendo stick, and then he got one of their kendo sticks, hit Bobby Lashley with it, because Bobby Lashley came in like, I'm going to hit you, and then never hit him, just held the kendo stick in the air for a bit. So Goldberg hit him with the kendo stick, broke the kendo stick on his own knee, and threw it away for some reason. Towards the camels, yeah, poor camels. And then he ran at him and did a spear off the sort of rampway. They fell surprisingly far down to like three tables that were probably had some padding at the bottom. But still, that was like a big drop.
You might take this as an easy answer, but I've the more of you talking there and I was thinking about it, I don't know what the answer to this question is. Who took the worst bump here, right? Your immediate thing, or the best bump to take, you might think, Shelton Benjamin.
Yeah.
But he just took a square kick to the chest from Goldberg where he doesn't work like... I mean,
he was snug.
Ask Bret Hart what his kicks are like.
He was working snug.
Cedric Alexander, who just got flipped onto a very unforgiving ramp, or Bobby Lashley, who just got speared. Like you say, people will say, it's padded. All you're doing is falling onto tables. You tried falling onto your tables then.
Yeah, from that height as well.
Who's the worst bump there?
You know, I'm almost feeling for Goldberg in that bump as well, be honest with you. I mean, the Cedric Alexander bump looked horrible because that was just solid, solid ramp that he had to take that on.
Like, it's got a tiny bit of material on it.
Yeah, like a carpet. That's it. That's like us on this floor.
And he had already wrestled earlier on in that and taken decisive splash, so his back was probably feeling a bit iffy anyway.
But like, at least Bobby Lashley taking it, like, you can't see what's happening and you're just like, oh, this is going to suck, and then you land. Like, Goldberg saw that table coming to his face like faster and faster.
There was
a
face he pulled just before he rolled over to pin Bobby Lashley, like, you remember the I don't remember if he's fighting, maybe Elijah Burke or something like that. There's a bit where CM Punk's in ECW and he goes, wow, that hurt like that. That was what Goldberg's face said to me. Like, oh, my bloody back. Like,
that sucked.
Where was Gage?
Gage wasn't anywhere. But what bit of Bobby's fall do you think hurt the worst? Landing on the table or Goldberg then landing on top of him directly afterwards?
It was probably a split second of like, oh, that wasn't too... Oh, my Jesus Christ. So, yes, surprisingly, and, you know, he walked off up the ramp saying, oh, that's what happens when you mess with my family.
Yeah.
Fine, let's move on in terms of Goldberg go away, and maybe Bobby Lashley needs to take some time off now.
Probably, yeah, and maybe even the Hurt Business. Let's just reassess this entire situation and come back with a bit of a plan.
They'd be a great, impactful return, wouldn't they? Of, like, someone is looking dominant, whether it be Big E or whether it be the tag champs or whatever it is, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they get jumped by the Hurt Business. They're back, MVP's back.
MVP could so easily explain that away as well, like, we reassessed our circumstances, like, it wasn't going well for us, so we've gone, taken some time off, we've retrained, we're back, we're better than ever, we're going to run through you again.
Perfect time to build to literally any match at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Right, let's move on and talk about King of the Ring, Finn Balor versus Xavier Woods and Phil Chambers. I can't believe I'm about to say this, but sometimes dreams can come true in WWE.
It's so nice when they actually just give us the simple things that we want, isn't it?
Yes.
Who knew that they could actually do this? Xavier Woods is now your King of the Ring. And he was so happy about it. That's the best part. Like, when he was sitting down and putting the crown on, he just looked like he was having the best time.
Still can't put a fucking cape on.
Neither of them can put a
just
cape on.
Just fasten it around your neck, guys. But it's not difficult.
He had his little scepter and he was waving it about, saying he's got all the power now.
I want a proclamation on, what are they on now? SmackDown.
SmackDown, so tomorrow.
Oh, yes, if they can get back.
Yeah.
Yes, very happy for him. A sort of different kind of match, this, because they've had, obviously, quite a lot of definitive babyface heel dynamics throughout this show, haven't they?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's the kind of babyface versus babyface thing, and they played into that more in the sort of match itself as well. Like, it was much more sort of wrestling heavy.
Handshake at the beginning, yeah, and all that.
Much more sort of just back and forth reversal kind of wrestling match that we've not seen for the rest of this card. So at least they made it stand out like that. But I mean, it's Finn Balor. He's always going to have a good match, right? No matter what's going to happen.
I don't think a lot of people came off this when Xavier won. So Xavier goes for the elbow drop. Finn gets his knees up or does something.
Yeah.
Goes for the coup de grace after the old sling blade drop kick thing. Xavier moves out of the way, takes him down, hits that rope walk elbow drop thing that he does. Brilliant. Can jump halfway across a bloody ring doing that. 1, 2, 3. A lot of people said, oh, Finn Balor's been buried now. I was like, he just needs to turn heel. And Xavier,
a simple fix.
Like 5 years he's been waiting for this, hasn't he?
Yeah.
But at the minimum. And yeah, like, it's a throwaway gimmick. They did some vaguely interesting stuff with King Corbin, I suppose.
For a bit.
The road to him winning the crown. Yeah, the road to him winning the crown was far more interesting with the stuff with Shorty G. And they had a great final, to be fair. This is not in comparison to that. But, yeah, just do some bollocks with it. Like, I told the missus, as I was just setting up this, I said, oh, yeah, Xavier won. She said, oh, that's nice. Like, all the members of the New Day have had something nice now.
Yeah.
They're varied. You know, Kofi gets Kofi Mania at WrestleMania. Big E's world champion. And will he retain it? Well, we'll talk about that next. But Xavier, as much as I love him, and I would like to see how they did it, he ain't going to be world champion. So this is something nice for them to actually give him for all his years of bloody service.
Yeah, and I think as well, like, Xavier Woods is the kind of guy that can do something different with this.
Exactly.
From what we've seen, it's always just the heel and he's a king and it all gets a little bit carried away, and then it runs on too long, and then WWE gets stuck in the king thing, and they're like, oh no, that's just his gimmick now. It's like, no, he was something before the king thing. He just added this on top. But I think Xavier Woods can go a little bit different with it, bring a bit more comedy, a bit more entertainment to it. Kofi Kingston will play off it really well. I just think, yeah, I think he'll add something a little bit different to this. And
it's like a babyface version of King Ibuka.
Yeah. So yeah, I think this was a good call. Sorry, Finn. Like,
turn heel. It's turn heel.
You had your thing. You had your big match. You fell off the ropes, and now you've had this. It's not been the best times for you, but it is a really easy fix. Just let him be the absolute dick that he was in New Japan. Like, let him be that Prince Devitt character in WWE. It's something that we haven't seen on like the main roster on that level, and I think it'd be much more interesting and completely refresh his character.
Yeah,
and give him a reason to go on a winning streak and like be built back up to the top. It should be really easy. That
the ass kicker that he had to reinvent himself in NXT to be bring that to main roster, but being more of an arsehole, basically. Yeah. Right, let's talk about the WWE Championship match. It was Drew McIntyre versus Big E. And again, another sort of face versus face dynamic here. And I thought, brilliantly done again.
Yeah, really good stuff. Very different to the last match where they wrestled quite a lot. And this match, they just threw each other quite a lot. Like, I don't think I've seen as many belly-to-belly suplexes in a match ever as this one. And they were doing it all over the place on the inside of the ring, outside of the ring, absolutely all over the place. It was just, like said on What Went Down, big beefy guys doing big beefy things. Mm-hmm. And it was really good.
And the finish, I thought, was, like you say, you mentioned it earlier about them sort of mirroring each other's moves. I thought the finish was really good as well. We had earlier on in the match, Big E nailing the big ending, seemingly out of nowhere. Drew McIntyre kicks out of it, and then Big E, as he's going for that mad dive through ropes, so it looks like he's going to kill himself. Drew McIntyre dives back in, hits him with a claymore, gets a near fall off that. And then the finish, we're into the, God, how do they do that? They're so bloody strong segment of this review, because we're going to talk about Bianca Belair in a sec. But he just goes, picks Drew McIntyre up.
He's a big man.
Drew McIntyre picks him up. And he sort of goes, oh, that's more of a tombstone position. I need you more up for a big ending. Whoop, you go. Like,
manhandled him like he was just nothing, just picking
like,
up.
It's like the strongman version of, you know when, oh, I don't want to bring AEW into this, but you know when Punk caught, I think it was Sydal going for a crucifix and went, oh, you're in the wrong position there.
Yeah.
Whoop, you go.
Yeah.
Except that's myself, Matt Sydal, no offense.
Yeah.
This was Drew McIntyre, and he just picks him up, big ends in, 1, 2, 3. Drew McIntyre loses nothing by losing this match. He goes over to SmackDown and he can just go on a bit of a tear there. And Big E is established as WWE champion.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, like, great finish. Big E at the end of it as well was, like, screaming, like, not seen nothing yet. Like, this is just a start. So I really hope they have a good run for him. Like, at least till WrestleMania or something like that. Like, a good solid run. And like we say, like, Drew's been on a bit of a downward spiral. Not a huge amount on Raw. But like from the heights that he once was. So now he's moved over to SmackDown. I think that's new people, new feuds. I think that's going to reinvigorate his character as well. Eventually we'll get the Drew versus Roman Reigns match at some point, which will be really good. So I think, yeah, this is just finish this off, move Drew over, and let's reassess and like reset everyone.
Speaking of matches that were far better than the builds towards them.
Yep.
Triple threat for the SmackDown Women's Championship.
Every Women's Championship match this year.
Bianca Belair, Sasha Banks, Becky Lynch. I'm getting hyperbolic on this podcast, but the best women's match in Saudi Arabia ever.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't even think that's a question.
No.
It was really, really good.
Statement.
it was absolutely really good.
I mean, you'd have to try hard to have a bad match with Bianca Belair, Sasha Banks, and Becky Lynch, but they've managed to execute a terrible build, so, you know, I've got faith in them. And yet, this was just great, and a real breath of fresh air when it comes to WWE triple threats as well.
Yeah, this completely threw out the usual triple threat sort of like.
I mean, it's a singles match with people changing.
Yeah, just two people chuck one person out, they wrestle for a bit, that person comes back in, they chuck another person out, and they wrestle for a bit. That's generally how these things go. And it completely just threw that out and was like, nah, we're not doing that. We're going to do something different. And from the very get go, like it was all more about people countering each other's moves into different things, people using other people to get into other moves on the other people. Like there was a bit where Sasha like looked like she was going to do the sort of double knees in the corner off Becky, but like jumped off Becky and kicked Bianca Belair. And there was amazing bits with Bianca Belair, sorry, using her feet of strength. Like she was lifting Sasha Banks up above her head like a press slam, but then she just let go of one of her arms and held her up there with one hand. And then not only that, but then threw her up and off with one hand at the end of it as well. And another bit where she had Becky up in a suplex position and Sasha was like grabbing her legs, trying to pull her down. And she just like stomped on Sasha while she still had Becky Lynch up in the suplex position. And then Becky almost fell down. But like before she went forwards and touched the floor, way before she touched the floor, Bianca was like, nah, I'm not having this. I'm not losing this moment. And lifted her back up and hoisted her back up into the air. Really good stuff there. There was a great bit with Sasha and Bianca Belair, and they both like had had Becky Lynch in their hands.
Yes.
And Becky was like, oh, you're my friend, right? Let's beat this other one.
Remember?
No, oh, you're my friend. you like me, right? And then they both just like chucked her into the corner. It's like loads of little bits like that where they were using all three people in it in a really interesting way, and the counters that they came up with from it, it felt really fresh.
Yeah, nice stuff towards the end as well on the outside with Sasha and Bianca, and then Becky getting involved. Becky getting them both in a disarm. I think they tapped, or one point, I think Bianca was in both a bank statement and a disarmor and tapped. And the ref was like, I don't know what we should do with that because that's no one winning the title. And then, the finish sees Bianca Belair has the match won. She hits the champ. She hits Becky Lynch with the KOD. Goes to the pin, but Sasha tries to steal the pin off her. They brawl. They fight on the outside. They're both trying to get back in. In the end, Bianca Belair gets knocked down. Sasha slides in. She's about to pick the bones of what's left, but Becky Lynch rolls her up, realizes where she is, grabs the ropes to help her with the pinfall. 1, 2, 3. Shenanigans, but I'll allow it because it's a heel.
Yeah, 100%.
And like you say, it hasn't been done throughout this goddamn card.
Yeah, every other match so far have been a clean finish, and this one was the first bit of shenanigans, but also, like, it wasn't a distraction finish. It wasn't a DQ. It was actually Becky Lynch using her character to inform the finish.
It's like they watched what happened on that SmackDown match and went, oh, hang on, someone can lose but still not lose anything because of other things going on. And then they just did it again. Like, I'd run this back, just not any of the stuff they've done on TV.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we'll see how that one plays out. And now they've got the SmackDown Women's Champion on Raw and the Raw Women's Champion on SmackDown. They might face each other, which would be fun, although it's going to be a weird dynamic with Becky and Charlotte. I'm really worried about a belt swap.
Yeah, they're going to do something.
And people are like, oh, what's the problem with them? They devalue the belts.
Yep. And then, especially right now, because you do a belt swap, and then, you have this blue belt. I'll take your red belt. Now I'm going to fight for this brand that I have only just joined, but I'm really passionate for, and I'm going to be Raw, and I'm going to beat you at SmackDown.
And is this a new title reign for Charlotte? Is this another? Yeah. Who cares? Right, let's move to the main event. It was Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns for the Universal Championship. And we still don't really have an answer to the question as to whose side Paul Heyman is on, but I have an answer to, is this WrestleMania main event worthy? And that's a definitive yes. This felt big time, didn't it, when those two got in the ring together?
Yeah, absolutely. The initial stare down with just this new Brock character. It's like this and the Paul Heyman stuff has like breathed so much fresh air into this as a feud. Yeah. And it's worlds away from where it was the last time
they
saw this.
They had a tug of war with a belt and I didn't hate my life.
Yeah. I mean, the match itself was a Brock Lesnar match. It's exactly what you think. Roman Reigns got quite a lot of offense in, really, when you think about what Brock Lesnar matches usually are. It's pretty much 50-50, I'd say, throughout those kickouts of both finishers. But the whole Paul Heyman stuff, they kept it ambiguous. Like, you don't quite know. The only sort of real, like, Paul Heyman was really stern-faced at the ringside throughout the entire match. And the only time he really came into play was towards the end when Brock Lesnar F5'd Roman Reigns into referee Charles Robinson.
Jesus, what a bum that was.
Like, Roman Reigns' leg just smacked him across the face and down he went. And obviously it was ref, it was down, and both the guys were down. And Paul Heyman was like, oh my God, what do I do? I've got the belt in my hand. I'm going to give it to someone. Who am I going to give it to? But there's a bit of a gap between the two of them. So he just chucked it into the ring. So it landed directly half and half between the two of them.
That's genius.
Brock Lesnar started.
I can't wait to see how this is followed up on SmackDown.
Brock Lesnar started giggling his head off. He was loving it. And then that's when they had the little tug of war thing. But Brock sort of managed to get the belt off him. But then, because it had taken so long, out comes the Usos. He turns around into a double super click. Roman Reigns gets the belt, twats him across the head, and gets the pin. 1, 2, 3, when another referee eventually comes in. So, yeah, screwy finish. But, like we say,
it's Saudi Arabia, but it's Saudi Arabia. You ain't getting a definitive finish on Roman Brock in Saudi Arabia at 2 p.m. in America or whatever it is.
Yeah, and there's so much more they can get out of this story. Like, the Paul Heyman dynamic is really, really good. Like, it's engaging TV with these two going at it. And so there's way more that you can do, whether it's do they redo it straight away at Survivor Series or whatever, it might be a weird time, or whether they wait for the Rumble or wait for WrestleMania and redo
Brock
it back
clearing
then.
Everyone out in the Rumble and Roman being like, oh, bollocks.
Yeah.
Like, they do the shenanigans of, like, well, you had your shot and you lost, so back of the line you go.
And we've still got to find out what the Heyman thing is about and whether Roman Reigns is going to settle for whatever story Heyman brings to him on SmackDown. So there's a lot more they can do with this, so you kind of expect this one to have a bit of a screwy finish, which isn't the best excuse for it in the world. But at the same time, you know they're going to run this again down the line. It is Saudi Arabia. You're not going to get a huge title change or something with this there.
No.
And the rest of the card was so clean that you kind of give it a break, because when it actually comes to a point where you're like, oh, okay, this kind of makes sense. Mm-hmm. You probably could have done it without it, but, you know, it's fine. Because the rest of the card was so clean, it frees you up to actually do that. You're not doing three of these on one show.
And I realize we've had title changes in Saudi Arabia, so it's not, you know, complete rarity. But this felt a lot more a part of WWE canon than the other ones. The other ones felt a lot more like spectacles, didn't they?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I think most of the problems with the other ones was that they just interrupted normal storylines rather than actually being built into the storylines. Whereas this one is, like, been firmly built in with the storylines on Raw and SmackDown.
And a lot of them, like you say, a couple of them can roll on. Like we said, it's going to be complicated. They probably won't roll on necessarily the exact same way with the SmackDown Women's Championship, for example. Yeah. But the Universal Championship can. That's fine. Big E, definitive, one. Drew McIntyre's on the other brand, that's fine. This was the definitive end of Bobby Lashley and Goldberg. This was the definitive end of Edge and Seth Rollins. This was the definitive end of the tag titles and the feud between RK-Bro, or it should be, RK-Bro and Styles and Omos. So, yeah, I really enjoyed this a lot more than I thought I would, putting aside, like we often say, all the issues that come with WWE putting a show on in Saudi Arabia. And look at this, Phil Chambers. We finished, and it's not even 10:30 here in the UK in the evening.
Best thing about it.
More of these sorts of pay-per-views. Yes, not these sorts of pay-per-views. No, but and by that, I mean a show that starts at 4 p.m. here in the UK.
Yeah, big fans. Big fans.
Apologies.
Of the time.
Apologies.
Of the time.
Yeah, apologies to viewers who maybe had to sneak away and work in America or... I mean, God knows what time it was in other countries. I think Australia was
like our time. When we're
welcome to our bloody world, guys. But yes, there we have it. Crown Jewel 2021 in the books. And yeah, overall, like I said, better than expected. So we'll take that. And now it's the longest time till the next Saudi show. So hopefully we can get back to relative WWE normality. But I'd love to know your thoughts because it seemed very divisive on our chat on the live stream. Let us know them on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Well, actually, you can follow both of us. You can follow Phil Chambers at
Phil My Chambers, and you can follow Adam at
Adam Wilborn. You can follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. And make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. We are going to be having a stacked few days of podcasts coming your way very soon. We've got the SmackDown preview. We've got the Rampage preview. Saturday, we've got the Dynamite preview and all the ups and downs as a result of those shows with Simon Miller, of course. But for now, this has been the Crown Jewel Review. My thanks to Phil Chambers. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.